Hey guys, and welcome to a very, very, very special episode of Spill and Guts podcast. You are listening to Dirty Bap, Luke Bradley.
And you're listening to the oldest looking 2-year-old ever, Jack Carlin, baby.
Woo! You kind of remind me, that t-shirt reminds me of, like, you know, the drumstick sweet, but like not the original, like the other one, like the apple and whatever it is.
The apple and orange one. Mm-hmm. But you can lick me, but I would be more salty than sweet. Oh, my phone scared me.
I'd rather not lick you because I don't know where you've been. But
girl, you really don't need to know where I've been. But come here. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, cheers.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. How do you feel being 2 years old? I think we are the oldest looking infants in the business.
Well, the funny thing is, I thought we were 3 years old. So that's just going to show how much we actually know. And we can't really agree on when our birthday actually is. So,
well, there is a date. It's not that we can agree on it. It's that both of us have just created a false date completely. Well,
I swear, the last time we had this like weird thing where I was like, right, isn't it our birthday? So you're like, no, it's in May. And I thought we were talking and we said it's the 11th. And then, so that's it. That was stuck in my mind. I don't know why, but I thought we had a conversation where you specifically said, no, it's the 11th. And I was like, right, okay. And then, because I think I was thinking it was like the 14th, like with the last conversation we had. And then, yeah, you were like, this time around, like, no, it's the 9th. You missed it. I was like, God's sake.
I know, but like, I obviously didn't know it was the 9th. Like, I remember at the time, the way I checked our birthday was, and we were so prepared. For months, we were so prepared. We were speaking to people about potential episodes. We were so prepared.
Oh, it was so
and
prepared.
I remember at the time, I was like, I checked and it said the 9th, and I went, it's the 9th. But both you and me manifested completely different dates, and hence why we are a week late for our own birthday. But picture it like our birthday was on a Monday, and mm-hmm. we didn't celebrate the week before. We celebrate the weekend following.
Well, that's why I said, like, on Instagram, like, it's our birthday week, because we can't get it right, and, you know, it's completely on brand for us to not have a clue when our birthday is.
It's completely on brand for us to not have a clue.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to be really honest and admit something that I'm going on record. I'm still confused as to when my own dog's birthday is.
That's not good.
Yeah, so I kind of like just pick a date in, it's in July, I think. It's July something. I'm going to pick a day in July and go, that's his birthday, because whatever.
But you see, there is receipts somewhere that you will find out Scout's birthday. I mean, when my dog, Millie, RIP, you're an angel. I remember my mom asked me, she was like, when is her birthday? And I made up a date on the spot. And if she heard this, she would say, no, you are so wrong. I am not. I was like, March 18th. And to this day, she will never forget it was March 18th. But it wasn't. I made that up. But she
sorry, Gemma, if you're listening.
Or she's not listening. Sorry, Mom. But you've been wrong, bitch.
So tell me, how does it feel that we've been on the air for 2 years?
I feel about 10 years older than that. What about you?
It feels like so much longer than 2 years, I have to say, but maybe because, I don't know, it just, because we do it every single week, maybe that's why we don't have, like, say, an off season, or we don't do it in, like, say, you know, because some of the podcasts, they do it in seasons. Yeah, and I was like, I'd rather just do it all the time because, you know,
and, you know, maybe it feels so long because, you know, the saying goes, time flies when you're having fun.
Such a square. All right, Nana.
Where I do get what you mean, though. I think also because we started this when we lived with each other and we've gone through, I've lived, like, including that place, 3 different places since then, you know, like, that's a lot. 4
Yeah, I mean,
well.
It does It does seem like, yeah, like a really long time ago since we lived together, but it was 2019. It wasn't that long ago.
It really
ago.
Wasn't long ago at all. I know.
But I think also because of like the pandemic as well, like that's just like, that seems like it's been going on for 10 years because of this whole lockdown situation. So I think maybe once like, you know, we're back to sort of like, not, well, I hate saying normal because it's not ever going to be normal, is it? But like back to, you know, living how we used to.
Back to not living like caged animals. I think you're right. So much has happened in the space between 2019 till right now. I mean, so much has happened that we just can't help but feel like old buddies. We've running, talking the same shit every week and happy to do so with a smile.
And, you know, we are, you know, getting older. I mean, you're going to be joining the overs category very soon. It's going to be your birthday and you're going to be in the dark side, on my side of life, and I'm going to be turning dirty 30 soon.
30 and flirty and thriving. 30 and flirty and thriving. 30 and flirty and thriving. 30 and flirty and thriving.
When is it your 30?
In August, 21st of August.
This year?
Yeah.
This year?
Yeah, I turned 30 this year, yeah.
Oh my God, I thought you were 28.
Oh, thank you, but no.
I know, isn't that nice? Well, you have to do something nice, baby. You have to do something nice.
Well, I literally cannot think of anything to do because I've always wanted to do what my oldest sister did for her. She got a bunch of her friends and they stay like in this barn and have like this like big like bonfire and just got fucked up by the bonfire. I've ever since then I want to do the exact same for my 30, you know, because of COVID and like my birthday is literally the weekend before Pride every single year. So I'm like, well, people don't want to like spend that much, whatever. And I don't know what to do this year. I really don't. But I'm sure the listeners really give a shit.
It's not like it's any birthday, baby, you know.
I know, but I'm going to pose this to you and then I've asked Emily, but I'm going to say this to the listeners as well. If you can think of anything like fun and a bit different that I can do for my 30th, rather than just going out like for drinks, because that's fun, but like it's, you know, the big three. I want to do something a bit different.
Like stay somewhere for a weekend, early August.
No, because I want to do something like for my actual 30th, like my actual birthday.
Stay somewhere for the weekend on your actual birthday. Nice cabin in the woods.
I mean, I want to that. I wanted to go champing. You know, you've heard of champing, right?
Glamorous camping.
No, that's glamping. So okay. Champing, I think I've told you before, champing is this thing, right, where you can go and stay in an abandoned church that's not in use anymore, and you can stay in there for a night. How creepy would that be? But again, the thing is, like, I don't want, like, to burden people with being like, right, okay, so for my birthday, you're going to pay XYZ for this. You know what I mean? It's like, it could be a lot.
Yeah, but
I
do get what you mean. But again, like, I don't want to like stress your age, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, but it's your 30th, you know.
30.
Maybe the big gift is everyone chipping in, paying your bid, paying our bid. Everyone gets this abandoned chapel, shit, church, I don't know, spooky, and like stay there for a couple nights.
Well, like just the one night, not a couple of nights. I don't think we could all stay in an abandoned church for more than one night, because let's be honest.
True. Okay. So we'll just stay one night and then we'll spend another night getting turned completely inside out. This day, I mean, I'm celebrating my 25th, my quarter of a life this weekend. So when you hear this episode, we won't be with us.
Yeah, this will be out on Sunday and we'll both be dying of a hangover.
Exactly. Exactly what we should be doing on God's Day of Rest, you know. So it's a big year for you, me and Spilling Guts.
It is.
It's,
I mean,
our birthday
babies. It's our terrible twos this year.
And I think there is no better way to even celebrate our birthday right now as Spilling Guts than to talk right into one of our personal favorite slasher films, the sequel, the boom, the kick, the boom, boom, kick. Miss, I still know what you did last summer.
Ooh. Now, I'm really glad that you said the title, because for some reason, the title for this and the first one, I can never say this title slow. I always say it like too fast. I just can't say, I still know what you did last summer, like really slow. It just, I don't know why.
Do it right now.
I still know what you did last summer. It just sounds weird to me, but I just did it, like, so I proved myself wrong. So, like, I'm a liar.
You sounded like you were going to slap on the melody. I still know. Which, can I just point out? Yep. You really, really, really should have just called the film I Still Know, because it doesn't make sense. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, which was 2 summers ago.
Yeah, it should be, you know? I Know What You Did 2 summers ago.
Yeah, it should be I Still Know, or I Know What You Did That Summer, or I Know You Did 2 summers ago. But I will say, so when I came to watching this, much like yourself, and much like if you are an avid listener of this podcast, you would be like us and have rented this film numerous occasions. For the first time ever, like, making notes, I mean, the notes that I have are pure buffoonery. Like, I am reading film for filth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to say this, like, straight out the gate. I am fully aware, I'm not delusional, that this film isn't the best film in the entire world. No, I know it's not. It's got many, many faults. Yes, it has. However, .com/...
I still know.
I still know. It's got such a special place in my heart for many reasons. And, like, this is one of my, I think when I was a teen, one of the first, like, DVDs I just had in my collection. And what... Can you just,
that's my phone
out
again. Did you jump? I'm so scared.
You stupid bitch. Yeah, and because I had this film for so long and just had it, like, it was in a, I had a very small collection of films on DVD at that time. And so it was one of those films. And I just always watched it. And it was just, it's my own, like, personal, like, haven. Like, because I only had that one. I didn't have the first one. So I had that one to watch over and over and over again. Yeah, it's just... It's really nostalgic for me, and I love it so much, even though I know, all y'all talkers, that it is the best film in the world. No, it's not. But
It's not, but it is.
But I'm thoroughly entertained from tip to tush every time I watch it, so, you know.
100, there's just, like, a little place in my heart when it comes to horror movies, especially slashers, that I still know just has, like, she has, like, burrowed her way in there, whether I liked it or not, like a nut. And she's just like, she's a crab, she's got in there by mistake, and she ain't leaving. And I don't want her to leave, because she was the first, I think, when we've spoke about this, I would always record on video,
yeah,
Urban Legend, Halloween H2O, but I Still Know What You Did Last Summer was the very first horror movie I ever purchased on, like, a video, on everything. So again, that sweet nectar of that chunky, like, little box. And
like, just think, like, the cast in itself is just, like, chef's kiss, because Jennifer Love Hewitt, like, is a really good scream queen, even, and she's a really good final girl, even though she's only ever done these 2 horror films. She didn't want to get typecast, but, like, I feel like she's a really strong final girl. She's likable. She's actually, you know, badass when it comes to it. I do feel like she's a bit annoying in the middle, but, like, when it really, like, push comes to shove, she's great. And then you've got, obviously, Brandy is, like, a queen and one of my queens, and she's just, wow, great. And then Jennifer Esposito is just amazing. She's that bitch.
Is she playing Nancy?
Yeah.
Nancy, okay. Nancy is my favorite person in the whole movie, and I don't know why, just from a young age, that, like, curly hair, the way she had, like, the bottle opener between her jugs, and she wears that, you know, little, like,
the fashion.
She is spectacular. I love her. She's great. She was,
and, like, a little like trivia, like, so I looked this up, so when they were, like, summarizing the characters, it actually said Nancy looks like Jennifer Esposito. And then she got cast in it, yeah.
So they literally had her mind.
Yeah, yeah, they wanted, like, her to look like Huh, and she then got it. So,
and she's just gorgeous. She has stank. She's about cuckoo, ca-choo. She's about weird. But she's got that sense of humor that... She's got like a gay man sense of humor, basically. And I just...
Oh, she's got like... She says one of my favorite lines in the film.
Which is? Right.
Everyone's always a damn singer. And it's still one of the lines, I think, that I quote to this day. Like, whenever I hear someone do, like, karaoke, I will, like, snarkily, like, say to everyone with, like, oh, everyone's always a singer. I'll always do it. Because everyone always thinks they're a singer when...
Everyone's a singer? First day.
When you're not.
Oh, that was a really, really good note. That was a really good note, bitch. When the film sort of starts, right, and it always starts how it ends and ends how it starts with these motherfucking cop-offs. Nobody does a fake reveal like anyone knowing what they did last summer. You know what I mean?
Do you think this was like a bit of a nod to Nightmare? Because it's kind of very similar to the like the in the class dream sequence, waking up screaming kind of situation.
Ooh, are you saying that that was like an homage, baby?
I mean, that's the kind of vibe I get, but then you don't really know. But there's two versions of that original, like of that opening scene, because they created like two teasers for like, just to put out there at the time. Mm-hmm. And one is the church confession scene, and one is one scene where Julie is talking to like a therapist, and the therapist is saying like he's not here, he's not alive, it's not real, it's all in your head, and then he pops out. But
can that version be accessed online?
That version has been like, it's lost, it's like gone forever. You can't even find it on YouTube, apparently.
Oh, that's not good, because I did go like hunting on my little Blu-ray for sort of special features, and you honestly get the most basic like making of featurette.
You get the music video, like,
yeah, and the music that one
which I don't get, like, out of the whole cast, Brandy is the singer, so why does she not do a song to the film? I never understood that, like,
I still don't understand that. I thought that. I was like, why is Jennifer Love Huge Tits is getting her song in there? But Brandy, the literal recording artist, he is in there just under Brandy. No surname. She's Beyonce in the fuck out of it. And there's not one song in her honor. I feel like quite strange.
Yeah, it is weird.
Her presence was enough. So, Oh gosh, I was gagged.
Okay,
I was gagged, but what I was just going to say. Is Brandy like 17 in this movie?
No, I feel like she's at least like mid-20s, because she was I'm sure she was about 17 when she first like came on the scene as a singer, and that was what, early 90s, like I want to say 94. Don't quote me on that, because I but do know my Brandy history, because I like was obsessed with her and Moesha. Moesha. That's the theme song. I feel like she was definitely like, no, I'd say early 20s, like 20.
Yeah, she 21. Was, I know she was kind of young-ish, like in the role. But I found this out recently, and it only taken me until I was 24, maybe 25 years old, to realize that Brenda in Scary Movie is a parody of Brandy in I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Wait, say that again.
So Brenda from Scary Movie is a parody of Brandy from I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. I seen it online. That's the whole gimmick, because the Scary Movie was the year 2000, which was obviously after it. And she's called Brenda, and she has like that hair that
like, I'm like mind blown. It now it's all makes sense, because I just thought it was just a really funny parody of like the whole classic, like, oh, black people in horror films always die first. I thought that they were just going with like just leaning into more stereotypes, and now it just all makes sense. And I feel like I shouldn't be doing this podcast anymore. I feel like so stupid, and like maybe you should just seriously, someone just punch me in the face. Like, someone come and punch me in the face. Like, I mean, I deserve it. Someone beat me, bitch.
Huge, huge fans of the universe of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
And like this, I feel like this is like a nugget of information that I feel like I should have known. Like, I should have known this.
Yeah. Of course, you should have known. We should have known this. I was 25 years old when I found this out. And it was like, it all makes sense.
Well, I'm just going to say this now. This is our public apology to all the horror fans out there. And all we ask is that you respect our privacy at this time while we spend with our families.
We're grieving. And we will even put a poll out there, sharing this nugget of information to see if you guys were like us and completely slept on it. But it's like, even when you hear it and you hear the names, it's not even like you just draw lines by ethnicity. It's so obvious.
I don't want this to be a case of that Instagram account that thought Jada Pinkett Smith was Halle Berry. I don't want it to be that situation, because that could be really bad for us. Maybe not put it out there.
That was, can I just say, everyone, that was really bad, shitty, and low-key racist on Scary Flex.
The thing is,
they have had a deal with Netflix, like, and they're supposed to be horror lovers, and they're saying Halle Berry on screen too.
I mean, the thing is, like, I didn't actually see it. It was you, obviously, that you put it on the story. And then I saw people were, like, reacting to it on our Instagram. So I then went and looked at it, and I was, like, obviously shook to my core. And then I went onto their page. They hadn't issued, like, any sort of, like, statement or, like, took it off. It was, what, 10 hours? I was, like, so you've let this carry on. You must have got, like, notification after notification on your phone, and you haven't, like, rectified this and gone, oh, like, my bad, I'm not racist.
Or just change the name, edited the post and changed the caption so that people, because I even checked the comments and people were, this is a page that horror fans follow. And you're gonna test us like that, mama. I hope you're losing sleep, because no.
I mean, they don't even look remotely similar. Never have, never will. Like, it's just, like, I don't understand. Like, even in that picture, it's like, it's not like, oh,
it looks not, the looks pictures, like her.
I mean, true horror fans should know that, like, Scream 1, we had Drew Barrymore was the opening. Like, that's the iconic big name person. The second one, Jada Pinkett was, like, huge star. She's the opening. You know what I mean? It's like, hello.
Even if you don't know her name, you know her as,
Right. I'm sorry. You know? Even if you're not familiar with, like, Jada's work, like, you know who she is. Like, you just know who she is. Like, you can't deny that the world does not know who Jada Pinkett Smith is. I mean, come on.
She's Gloria from Madagascar. You know, even if you don't watch horror movies, she's Gloria from Madagascar.
Yeah, hello, Girls Trip. Like, Girls Trip was, like, the highest grossing film of, like, what, 2018, was it? 2017? Yeah, it was, like, it was a huge hit. Like, everyone's seen Girls Trip.
I think we went and seen that together, didn't we?
For my birthday, I think.
Cinema birthdays for your 30th.
And she's in an amazing film from the night. It's called Set It Off with Queen Latifah in it.
Never seen it.
An iconic film, because the song, you know the song En Vogue, Don't Let Go? That's like the title song for that movie.
Oh, well, I am a sucker for a good soundtrack now, I must say. The Strangers Pray at Night, that is one where the film got so much hate, but the soundtrack is so lit that I'm like, baby.
That, I feel like that film is a grower. It's a real grower.
Real grower. I love it more and more. I watch it. Like, no, I love it. I actually think it's better than the first one. There, I said, handcuff me. Yeah. Because it's just a proper slasher. While the first one's Home Invasion, you know we love a slasher. The second one is just an all-out slasher film. No Home Invasion about it. And I was like, that tickles my pickle a lot more. Neon colors, tick. Boss ass bitch soundtrack, tick. And good chase scenes, say no more.
Yeah, I'm
killed. And you know what else is a great soundtrack? How do I do you? I don't even know myself. What it is. You
so
want
now you're back from outer space.
I will.
I don't know the words.
I used to, for a long, long, long period of time in my life, I knew that song from So Now You're Back from Outer Space. I will. I just just from that film, and I used to think that High Will was part of the actual song, and then
no, you didn't.
I do swear. You remember?
Do you remember that video? Like this must be like in the early 2000s, where it was like that alien lady, like sing like video, and she's singing it, and then it's like disco ball drops her and kills her mid song.
Is really it real? Funny.
No, it's a cartoon. It's a cartoon alien, and then she's like singing this song, and you get into it, and this disco ball just drops and lands on her.
It was knee slapping because
it was like a viral video before like we knew what viral videos were. It was like in the era of Crazy Frog, you know.
Yes, that was like the startup of
viral. I'm showing my age big time, but yeah,
no, you definitely are. You're definitely showing you're nearly in the 30s club.
But tell it to his face though.
She's beat, she's beauty, she's grace, and she's serving face. Am I right?
And she's Miss United States.
Miss Baltimore Crabs. Always Miss Baltimore Crabs. Yeah, so I have this recurring note, okay, where I think it's hilarious. So in the film, and this is the way it sort of starts, Jennifer Love Huge Tits wakes up and she's all like distorted because someone's in her apartment, okay? And then further down the line, it's Brandy sneaking about, like scurrying about like a little mouse. So throughout the film, everyone who is anyone continues to sneak up on Jennifer Love Huge Tits, even though they know last year she got chased by a murderous man who killed her friends, and they all sneak up on her. And I'm thinking, that's shitty as fuck.
They love to do it. But then again,
you're like you've got to think... her.
Yeah, literally, like, shh. You know, because Brandy does say, like later on in the film, oh, like you didn't tell me the whole story. Like, why didn't you tell me the rest? So, thinking about like what you just said, I wonder if like she has told everyone like in her life, like the actual real tea, unless she's like, you know, yeah, some shit went down, but I don't want to talk about it, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, true, because she has those scenes really well where after, you know, she's been in class and had her like little Nightmare on Elm Street, and she's just like, it's that time of year again, I just think about it and I just can't go back to wherever, is it Southport? Yeah. And she speaks to him like he knows, or at least he knows something. So I think it's always alluded to that they know that she's had this big, you know, the bitch is like waking up and being in class. I'd be like, something's happened to her severe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's got issues for sure. But I really like that scene where we meet Carla for the first time, because it gives us that like the very first sort of like spooky misdirect, like, ooh, jump, like scare tactic, because they do a lot of like unnecessary jump scares. I feel like both films do this quite a bit. This is the first of many for this film, but I actually enjoy this one.
Yeah, I enjoy it. And it's always accompanied with amazing score. The music is like the best part. Well, not
I love the music.
It goes hand in hand with the chase scenes that we get further down the line. Even then, the music just makes you feel a certain way. Like that jump scare it's obvious. You know she's not going to be attacked that early on.
Yeah.
But the music just sort of makes you sort of believe that it happens. And then you get Brandy coming out, who just adds that comedy element that I feel like then just like carries on throughout, you know.
Well, yeah, you do believe, because even though we've just had a jump scare previous with the little dream sequence, you know, you kind of believe that this could be another one. Like it could happen. It's, you know, you're in a really dark, scary apartment, so to speak. And then you just never know, because this film does like to play around with stuff. But obviously it's not. It's not. But you just
like that one I can believe. But the one I can't believe is the bullshitness of that nightclub scene. It's like,
the nightclub scene.
A man with a hook for a hand and an all fisherman outfit is going to be stood right up there.
Yeah, yeah. No, one's going to bat an eyelid. No one's going to kind of like... But then saying that, you know, because Ben is there, not Ben, Will is there,
He's there?
Could Will Benson? Ben
son. Plot twist of the best plot twist ever.
But also another trivia I was reading as well, that like obviously it's Will Benson, but if you break it up, it's Will is Ben's son, and it's Willis, Ben Willis. It's like
Willis.
Layered on layered.
It's just genius. I mean,
isn't it like just like genius writing? Like,
it's the most beautiful je ne sais quoi writing.
You can definitely tell that Kevin Williamson was not a part of this one for sure, like, because the writing is a bit sketch.
Although, one way that like I was tricked, and this is how I know I'm a dumb slut sometimes, is like Will Benson, when you hear it, you're like, that's so obvious when you know that that's the twist. But you even know that shit's going to go down from early on because A, the man on the radio is clearly Will, but B, they give the wrong answer of what the capital is. And yeah. I would never have known that Rio de Janeiro was not the... I would have been like them too. I'd be like, yeah.
Well, you don't do, because I don't know. I'm just probably, you know, ignorant. I don't know the capital of...
I'm not good at geography.
Neither am I. I mean, I know some stuff, but like, I'll, you know, at least now I know because of this film that it's not Rio, it's Brasilia. So,
I need things like I still know to educate me. Like, that's how I learn, honestly. So, I will never forget that the capital of Brazil is Brasilia simply because them dumb bitches got it wrong. So, I learn from their mistakes, you know, doing God's work.
They really are. They really are helping a bitch out. But back to what I was saying, because Will is there in the clear, it might have been her imagination, which is probably what it was, but it also could have been him being a dick and like just put on a coat and then for a lol.
And where did he stash the coat? And then when she stood in the corner,
I wasn't there, bitch, I don't know.
And then when she stood in the corner, that there's a wall and we get that really violent music and you see him coming up and she turns around and there's just a wall behind her.
Listen, did I say it was a plausible idea? No, I just said it's a idea, bitch.
Listen, with a plot twist like Willis Benson, I mean, and this
Willis
film,
Benson.
Yeah, Willis, it is Willis Benson, yeah?
Ben Willis is the killer. But then he's called Will Benson.
Ah, right. I thought you said his name was Willis. Because then you said Will as Benson. Listen, it's too stupid. I can't even believe we're getting this deep.
Willis is the last name of the killer and the family.
Okay.
That's why it kind of, it's got so many twists and turns, the whole like just, name shit.
It's one of those, it's like the episode in All Stars 3 where it's the wig reveal and it's like wig under wig under wig. And then turns out in her dress is a whole wig. It's very that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just layers upon layers. Speaking of wigs, actually, Jack Black. So I looked this up, okay. Jack Black's role in this as Titus is uncredited. It's not.
So you told me this before, right? It might not be. No, he's in the credits of the film. But you told me once that he took it off his IMDb. So I went and checked. He hasn't. It's actually on his IMDb, and I couldn't find him on the actual cast list on the film. However, if you go into the pictures on IMDb, when you click on him, it comes up with his picture and his name. So it's quite confusing. But yeah, no, it's on his page. If you go back far enough, it does come up.
It definitely used to be, though. Like, because I even typed up why Jack Black is uncredited. And there's searches on Google that are the exact, like, on Reddit. Why is Jack Black uncredited? And I still used it last summer. Now, I thought it was because in this day and age, him literally, like, the character that he plays is ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I love it personally because it's so Jack Black, but... Like, I'm sorry, I don't think they had the intention of, like, a white person playing that role. You know what I mean?
Well, you just don't know, do you? Because...
Like, was he a somebody at that time in 98? Surely he was.
I think it was definitely early doors. It wasn't, like, the height of his career, but it was definitely early doors. But, you know, okay, having Jack Black play, like, a quote-unquote, like, Rasta type, you know, isn't the tea whatsoever. I mean, him. He shouldn't have been in dreads. Like that's not the tea. But when you don't watch it, you have this thing in your head of like, does he do an accent? Does he do a voice? And then you watch it and you realize, no, he actually doesn't. He doesn't put on like a voice. He doesn't like do any affectations. He doesn't like perform as if he's supposed to be a white man trying to be black. He doesn't do that. Yeah. However, his whole character and like the look and the vibe is, you know, very like. It's not right. It's very ignorant.
It's like cultural appropriation, I think, at its finest for them, bloody dreads. But that is so weird when I watch it. Like, I enjoy them. And like, I can't believe this is Jack Black. And I still
It's such a random casting to have Jack Black in this film. Random. It really is.
I feel like there's a lot of that sort of going on. Like, Brandy in it. Very random.
I wouldn't say she's that random. However, the role of Carla was originally supposed to be another white girl, but then Brandy won the role by auditioning. So, you know.
I know, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to say something that you're definitely going to correct me, but I've never known Brandy to be in any other movies.
Well, yeah, she was in adaptation of Cinderella with Whitney Houston and a bunch of other like POC cast. Like it's a really, yeah. You not heard that song? Impossible, impossible. Have you not seen that video of her and Whitney like singing like backstage? It's like impossible, impossible.
No. Impossible, 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 impossible. Impossible.
I like your rendition though.
That's how it goes. Obviously, she starred in her own sitcom, Moesha, back in the day. She's been in loads of stuff.
This is why I said it, because I knew you were going to correct me, and I'm happy. I made you look so much better than I. But yeah, I just think the cast.
Well, I named two things she was in. She has been in other stuff, to be fair.
But that was two more than me. But I just feel like the cast in this is just like a weird choice. Not weird, because there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I actually think it's like low-key iconic. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you think about it, like at the time, she's a big star. So it makes total sense. And, you know, around that time anyway, she was a big superstar for The Boy's Mind, because that was out in 98.
True.
Yeah, 98.
And you are very much, when it comes to you, I still know, you are very much Team Carla. In fact, I could go as far as saying I think Carla might even be like one of your favorite slasher girls.
Oh, hands down. Like I've said before, the amount of times I played Carla falling through the roof, like when I was a kid, like I've just...
Yeah, she's enjoyable. Sister Forever, baby. She's enjoyable because of the level of accurate yet stupidity that she actually has. So throughout the film, it's like I feel like I resonate with her so much, because she's like kinky but reserved, funny but not like arrogant, you know what I mean, like a natural coolness. But then in any chasing scenario, she stops and watches, she falls, she goes through glass, she loves going through glass. I mean, she looks at glass and she just goes.
I think she's just a really well-rounded character. And I don't know if that was the writing or if that was Brandy bringing that to the... Because I really don't think the character of Carla
would have been...
Yeah, but I agree. But I also don't think the character Carla was written that way. I do feel like a lot of the Carla stuff that we love came from Brandy bringing it to life.
Yeah, and I could see like Carla actually dying and then Brandy like joining the cast and then them.
Well, here's the tea. Originally, Carla was supposed to die and Nancy was supposed to survive, but then they switched it around.
That's weird to keep Nancy alive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's weird. I almost love Nancy more because she dies, because it's not really her fault. She's quick, she's nimble. She's in and out of every scenario with that torch. It's only at the end when a big brut of meat falls on top of you, you know, you're screwed. Yeah.
She's very light on the loafers, for sure.
Now, what did you think of sort of race scenes? So in the last film, I'm not the biggest fan of Ray. And then in this one, I'm equally not the biggest fan of Ray, because this dumb bitch, okay, is getting chased by a car and continues to run in the middle of the road. And I'm like, there's a lady right next to you.
Yeah, no, I do feel like they do Ray real dirty. I mean, I'm putting it out there that to this day, I think that Freddie Prinze Jr. is one of the hottest men like to grace us up. He's just like, he's such a real snack and
gorgeous.
Oh, and like he just, have you seen him now? He's just, he was gorgeous then. He's gorgeous now. He'll forever be gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. I just love him so much. And I love his and Sarah Michelle's marriage. Just, they're just like, oh, the perfect couple.
They are proof in the pudding that monogamy is real. And you can find the love of your life and stay with them forever and ever and ever.
And they were friends for like a really long time before they got together. So they weren't
really? I would be interested to know when they got in relationship, whether it was like I Know What You Did Last Summer or like Scooby-Doo.
It's before Scooby-Doo. Weirdly enough, I read an article, well, an interview that Sarah did not that long ago, actually. And she said they met on I Know. And they just remained friends for a couple of years. And I think it was around like 2000. I think it's like 2000. They met for dinner and they were supposed to meet another one of their friends, but they were like their friend cancelled last minute. It was just them two. And they just kind of like looked at each other like a different way. And that's how it all happened.
That makes me happy, you know. Mm-hmm. That beats my serendipity. That we know that Helen and Ray are sweethearts for life.
M2B. Such a dumb bit. But I agree, like the whole car chase scene and the fact he runs in front of a truck. I don't believe anyone would have survived that whole mess on the road. I really just don't.
Yeah, and how slow is Ben Wallace driving? I mean, he wears that fisherman hat very low, but not low enough that you can't
apple pick bottom it. Jeans fisherman hat low.
The whole time looking at her like Ray's up in here doing like pirouettes on the road, twisting, dotting, bopping, jumping into the split. And Ben's still in the car going any day now, Katie.
And then Miss Thing's doing like tumble after tumble down that hill, like doing backhand spring.
Naturally, like all she did was just roll down a couple of hills and she's KO'd to the max. But that's what I mean. I feel like the film sort of tags him along as the side story that really isn't interesting at all, but only until he's there to like save the day, which is
very even then incredible. I don't really like Ray's sort of like side plot because it's quite boring. It really is quite boring. His whole like I would have walked five trying to get to Julia. Yeah. I still don't really know how he was able to really do that journey in that amount of time.
And how do you know like specifically where it was, you know?
How far is the Bahamas from Miami? I don't know. And I haven't even Googled it. I should have Googled it.
Well, I know that it's actually not that far because...
So it is doable then, obviously.
It is doable because my friend lives in Florida. She says they all went to the Bahamas for like a couple of days. So it can't be...
In the movie they go to the Bahamas and it's like a hop, skip, a jump. So it obviously isn't that far. You just...
imagine. It always seemed like such a tropical, faraway, exotic land when you hear of the Bahamas through a slasher film. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I always wanted to go, and I always thought that hotel made for the most perfect, and I mean probably top location of a slasher film ever. And this is where I still know will excel everywhere else.
The locale it's just so good. I mean, it's the hotel's so creepy at night. It's just the perfect destination, 100%.
It looks, the lighting, the way they shoot it, all the rooms, all of it, it is the best location.
If I was to ever get married and like go on a honeymoon, I'm tracking that hotel down and I'm just trying to stay there.
I have this thing where I want to do it where I have enough moolah, of course, when I have money, but I want to visit really like important locations to me from slasher film horror movies. So of course, the main street in Haddonfield, Stu's house and Scream, and I want to stay in that hotel from I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. Like I need to.
Yeah. Camp Crystal Lake. I want to go there.
Yeah, I want to go to Camp Crystal Lake. I want to visit the house in Nightmare on Elm Street. Other things, you're not a Nightmare fan, though, you know.
Although I would love to go to that like mansion from You're Next.
Exactly. I would love to go to Laurie Strode's house in the new Halloween.
If that even is a real house.
Yeah, it is. There's a video on YouTube where they go to the house and you can see, like, no one lives in it. You can see where they've, like, drilled up the floor and stuff. You can see where they've, like, put stuff in.
Did they, like, actually build a house?
No, so so the house was already there. Abandoned, and they just, like, do whatever. I also want to go to the school. The school of rock. Yes, I want to go see that in theater, by the way.
You're taking and I hate you.
You're taking and I hate you. Let's rock today. I want to go to the school in Halloween H2O, which is also Roman's house in Scream 3.
Yes, it is.
That also needs to be visited. You know, there's a lot for us to play with.
But, like, speaking of locations, go to the house from Murder House, American Horror Story.
Of course.
Because it's also used in Buffy as well, that house.
And go to, is it New Orleans, where Coven is done? Is it where New Orleans, and there's all that strip where it's all apparently witchcraft and
and there's a real, like, museum for Marie Laveau.
You see, think of all these things that we need to do, Mary, but we just don't have the cash. So
Moolala.
We need Moolah. So OnlyFans. No, let's try and get money through this, shall we? Please donate.
Donate to our traveling fund. Give me money, daddy.
So I have a note here that I have capitalized.
A note.
I've got a note that I have capitalized, which is, I am sick of this, like, body dropping but bodies disappearing thing. Okay. So we're all for suspension of disbelief, but bitch, you're telling me this Coast Guard is going to drop from the ceiling?
Yes.
Sprinkle.
See, I wrote down something on the same street. The lengths to which Ben and his son go to try and, like, make out that Julie is losing her mind or having a breakdown is unreal. So first is with the body dropping. Will makes a jump, they do the music, the, you know, it's like, just chill out, like, too much.
Please chill out. There are easier ways to scare her than changing the karaoke so I still know, bitch. You know, and she's like, oh, he knows. You know, like, what? Where was Ben Wallace, like, behind the screen going,
I can just imagine with, like, with one of those, like, little headphones with, like, the microphone bit, and he's got, like, the nails, and he's like, click, 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 with the nails.
Yeah, hello, this is the Bahamas, what's your order? How can I help you?
This is Karen speaking. Your food customer service.
That's what I was properly thinking the whole time, like, there was some
behind. Hi, Martin, it's Linda.
Hi, Martin, it's Linda. Yeah, Julie James. Yeah, the psychotic one. Yeah.
Surprise, bitch.
You know, like, I was proud for Prector, like, long acrylic nails, chewing chingum.
Literally.
Changing the lyrics.
You know, instantly think to Peter Griffin, you know, that scene where he's got the nails.
Yeah, that was literally it. And that's what I'm saying, like, the two of them as a duo go to, like, all these lengths to really, like, freak her out. When there's, like, easier things to do, like, haha, I'm gonna get you in this bum bed and crank it up and just leave her. Just kill her right there and then, you know?
But I love that scene, though.
I love that scene, but again, there was a lot of this film. I think I just poked holes in it constantly. Like, I get she's trapped, but turn it off. You know, she's locked in there. Just turn it off first. And then you can try and get her out, you know?
Well, they can't, can they? Because they turn it on and break it, so they can't.
Does he break it?
Yeah.
I don't see that.
Well, look again, bitch.
We don't see it. You've just made that up.
Mm.
We don't. You just see him turn it up and he just, like, locks her in and he leaves. And then they come in, they smash it open. And then whilst they're all talking, they stare at it for ages.
Like, I disagree.
Show me the receipts.
I could be lying. I'm not sure.
I'm telling you, you're definitely
lying. That would make the most sense. I'm sure he does something to it. That's the reason why they don't just turn it off.
No, sure. He just locks her in there. And I mean, that's just, like, one of a few. When Julie knows fine rightly, you know, they've been out in the rain, but there's always time for an outfit change. you know, there's a killer on the list, but there's a
that
time
point where they go from their like workout attire to then they get, she puts on like a business shirt and those
apparently
pants.
Has only one button.
Well, you know, it's like it's a business shirt, but make it sexy because I'm still in a horror movie and it is the 90s, so I need to look sexy at the same time as being, you know, trying to be killed.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we call chasing outfits. You know, you see it all the time. Everyone gets into their attire that will lead into their final act. You know, it's their chasing outfits. This is what they're going to die in.
Well, it's only the girls because obviously Nancy, she's got like those Adidas pants, which are amazing. But she has to have the teeny weeny crop top because she has to be sexy whilst, you know, risking her life.
Yeah, that's her chasing outfit. I mean, she's not running around in that waistcoat, that tight, very formed waistcoat. No, she's in a chasing outfit. Very convenient, and I love it.
Carla, even though she's got jeans on, her shirt is see-through. She's got a little bralette on, so she has to still be sexy whilst being chased. It's like, do those two things have to be like coincide? Being sexy whilst trying to not die. Do they have to live together?
Well, and we can say this as not objectifying woman, but as a gay man, yes, they do, because there's something that makes. I don't know. It just makes the scene a lot better that they look like two cool, hot bitches.
I don't need them to look sexy, but what I do need is just like a banging outfit. Like regardless if it's sexy or not, I just need...
You need a cool outfit.
I need the fashions to be on point. I enjoy all three of those looks, even Julie's business attire.
I love it. Those baggy
it so
ass, like sandy cargo trousers that like completely swallow her shoe. Sickening.
Ugh.
Carla's like see-through sort of red shirt I want. Oh. And don't get me started on Nancy. Her with all of her rings, the top, the bracelets, the Adidas trousers.
Those Adidas pants. Oh, so jealous.
She is. That's like...
If I could, I would walk around like Nancy every day of my life.
I think if I was to be a female, I always wanted to look like Nancy in this movie. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with that outfit and the swag before swag was.
And the smoky eye, like she's just got that whole like cool girl vibe. You're like, oh,
she's
I just want to
cool
be you so much.
Yeah. And she's like, leave that bitch behind. She's so stupid. I told her to stay in the beams. And the bitch falls through them, leave her behind, you know? Cutthroat.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. All of this becomes like more bearable when they look fierce as fuck. Like you forget that, you know, there's a killer around and Julie James is going to wander because there's a globe rotating, you know?
Oh, but over I love it. When you see it in the background, you see it spinning, you're like, oh, we're going to find out if you got it right, bitch.
And do you think Tran's fixed or not?
Yeah, and I really enjoy when the cogs start to turn, like, and they get faster and faster and faster. And she's like...
The cogs right, getting faster and faster.
Like, clip-clop, clip-clop. No, she, like, light bulb moment, she's like, oh, shit, she's figuring shit out. And she's like, right, okay, this isn't the tea and we've been, you know, tricked.
Yeah, that's it. But you excuse these sort of moments because realistically, you're like, have you not learned anything? Why are you fixed on this globe that's rotating and you're going to walk all the way into the darkness?
Well, okay, let me put this to you. Like, to say you're in that situation and you're walking through the reception and that globe is spinning by itself. You're telling me you're like, even though it's the dumbest thing you could ever do, you're not like a little bit.
Oh my God, no. I would grab you and I'd be like, ah, there's someone down there.
Scooby-Doo moment.
I was like, there's someone down there. They are spinning that globe, bitch. And it's like as well when they go into the shelter, the storm shelter, and they know they're being chased. Hold my hand. I am holding your hand. And like, even I know the rooms. No, you're not. It's like, how long do they have to realize that Julie's here and Carla's way down there?
I mean, I'm the queen of like, would this really happen? And this scene is like one of the ones that I'm like, right, it does annoy me because it's for the scare factor. I get it, but it also doesn't really make a lot of sense because I don't understand how the hand would have been like elevated up enough, and it just actually doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense, and you know it's just for the scream factor or the jump scare moment.
I've never really held a dead hand before.
Neither have I.
But I know it wouldn't feel warm like ours. And also, I would know the difference if it was a dead lump, probably low to the ground because the body's on the floor. I mean, Carla...
It's cold.
Carla had to bend down like she was picking up pennies to get that woman's hand, you know?
And also, how many times do this film need to show us all the dead bodies that have been like every like several times? You see Olga the maid, you see the deckhand guy, then you see Tyrell. How many times do you want to show us the bodies? Like several times we get to see them. Like
do you see Tyrell's body in the in the storm shelter?
No, I just made that up.
I didn't mean to call you out. I was really curious.
No, you're right. Because there's four bodies, and I just couldn't, in my mind, I could only picture two of the bodies. I couldn't picture the other two bodies because there is four bodies.
Like the manager and Titus. That's what I'm saying, right? So collectively, every single one of them have seen these bodies. And the only person that has the only person that has the right to scream is Nancy. And when you watch it, she's the one person that screams the least. Brandy.
This is your Jada moment.
Oh, lovely. Brandy loses it. And I'm like, Brandy, she popped out of that dryer and she is losing it. And I'm like, shh, fuck's sake, we get our hiding space. Shut up.
Also, I'd like to point out, what kind of like superhuman strength does Ben have? Because when he kills Olga and just like he picks her up like she's like bib lettuce on a plate and just like drags her like it's nobody's business. I'm like, she is a human being who's when limp weighs a ton. Everyone's gonna weigh a ton. You're not that easy to pick up, especially with a hook. Like one hook in a hand, you just pick her up and drag her. No. I don't buy that for a second.
No, but, don't buy that for 1 second. But he can. Like come alive twice, somehow end up at this hotel, be unnoticed, be one-handed, and survive being shot 7 times, put in a grave, and still make it out in the end. And that's but lifting her with one hand, I don't think.
Silver dress and a red wig. I don't think. But thing is though, like you've got the likes of Jason, who I mean, come on now, he's the amount of times he's been dead and come back alive, it's unreal. And the same with Michael Myers. I mean, how many times does that bitch want to like get it and
exactly
be completely fine? It's like, I can give Ben. It's confusing. After a while, it's confusing who's Will and who's Ben. Who's Will?
Ben.
So I could forgive the fact that he's come back with his hook for a hand. And I mean, the one thing I do think is like it's a bit loosey-goosey. It's the whole thing about his history on the island. Of course, like, it's just like...
Of course, there's history. And then, of course, there's a guy there doing voodoo on it to protect them. And all this, like, side waffle malarkey when I'm like, when you get down to it and you drop it, you are stellar. Because let me tell you, from that moment when Ty is killed until, I don't know when until, there is about 10 minutes or 15 minutes of some of the best chase scenes ever.
We've said it before, but Helen Shiver's chase scene is hands down the best chase scene of any horror franchise, period. And I'm going to put it out there that Carla's chase scene is the second best chase scene of all time. And, you know, no one can tell me otherwise.
I mean, I would put Carla's up there for sure. I actually, did we really say that Helen's was the best?
Because it is.
It is, but
That chase scene is about 15 minutes long.
That's so true. Good.
When we did our top 5 chase scenes, we both said that Helen Shivers is our number one.
I forgot we'd done an episode on that. I must listen back because I'm curious.
Yes, you must.
Yeah, because I'm curious as to what we said. But no, you're right. In hindsight, Helen's does go on longer and it is way more intense. But the chasing with Carla, I just love it because it's the three women and yeah. We love nothing more than bad bitches. It's like in Halloween 2018, there is something so satisfying about the very end when all three of them fight Michael off to get him into the cellar. You know, it's just like, it is stunning.
There is something so powerful about seeing a group of women, whether it be three, four, whatever, coming together and fighting for their life and really like sticking it to someone who's trying to kill them. It's just, that really tickles my pickles. At any time there's a horror film where it's like predominantly female cast, it just soothes my soul and it's just like music to my ears and just...
Exactly.
It's my jam. It really
exactly.
is.
Exactly. And that's why the chasing of Carla, Nancy, and Julie is just really, really, really creme de la creme, the fucking bee's knees, because you just see these three bad, hot bitches really running for their life and going through such like colorful scenarios. Like, you don't see slasher films where they fall through the fucking glass and the ceiling and she goes through a greenhouse and she crawls through a frame that's like this size.
I mean, I do have a bone to pick with Julie James. She couldn't like get more of the window like smashed for Carla. She had to only smash one tiny pane and Carla managed to, I don't know how she managed to squeeze through because she's by no means a big girl, but that pane of glass, that window frame was teeny weeny. Like it's about the size, like the same size as my laptop. Like it's that small. So
yeah. And she done it, and I bet that fucking hurt. You know, when I watch it, I'm like, I bet that hurt for Brandy because she crawls through that teeny ass little thing. But Miss Ben Willis has no intentions of killing nobody because if he did, he would run, you know? Like, look at that tiny little window that she's
to be fair, when they're running up the stairs, he does get like a bit of a march on getting up those stairs. He does really go after them in that sense. But then, yeah, he is playing with them when he gets to the greenhouse bit and Carla's fell through, which is like, oh, I love that scene. But she's dumb for standing on both feet on one pane of glass. Like, you got what was coming to you. Like, you deserved that. Like, you really did.
But it's one of the best.
It's one of the best scenes. And then he's clearly playing with them because it's about, I'd say, a good 10 feet from the back of that greenhouse to where Carla is. And he's just like gliding through like, dee, 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 dee. Like,
and the birds like, are flying.
He's like smelling the flowers like, yeah, fresh. And like, he's like feeding the birds. And you know,
yeah, he smells like the flowers and he goes, gotcha. He's like, pulls out a tissue, you know. Blows his nose.
He feeds the bird, like scatters some seeds for the birds and is just like
lays down a blanket and stuff and just eats some grapes.
Takes out his picnic basket and it's like got his little salmoners. Starts singing to the birds.
And Julie James is over here trying to slam a lock apart with an axe and hitting it very lightly and he's over there Fiona out of Shrek.
Nancy's got the biggest like set of keys known to man. I'm like, I wouldn't even bother with those keys because she's never going to find those keys in time.
Yeah.
And then Julie's trying her best to axe through stainless steel, I'm guessing. Like, are you okay, bitch? Like, it's. I don't think it's going to cut it. So, and please smash, you know, a smaller piece of window for Carla to get through. That would be great.
In fact, don't even smash the window. Let her smash it herself, you know. But Julie James is not one of the smartest final girls on the list. I don't think she's on anyone's list, to be fair. I don't think she's got the brains. I know, and I do love me some Julie James, but she isn't the smartest cookie. Because even through this one and the other one, she's directed towards like victory. You know, she's like at the end, she sort of saved. All she does is like when Will's got her, all she does is slice him on the arm, bitch, and the gut. You know, she doesn't like she's almost too much of like a helpless victim to fully have that really tough moment. But that's the writer's fault, not Miss Jennifer Love Huge Tits.
Yeah, and to be fair, it does take an obscene amount of time to realize that Will has zero cuts on his body and the blood is not his.
Yeah. It takes her a while and duh, Will Benson. Benson, come on, Julian. Can't with it, you know, doesn't know the capital of Rio. Brazil, sorry. That was me being a tut that time.
The capital of Rio.
Julie, I'm not much better. That's the way I can say it. But, you know, she's not the smartest tool in the toolbox. Definitely not. But she's an enjoyable one. You know, she just sort of like flaps about and screams until she's like, oh, I've survived twice.
She's really good at shouting to thin air and spinning around. No other bitch can do that but Julie James.
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for? Do you hear me? If you want me bad, come and get me. I'm right here. But my grave stays empty.
She owns it. That is her trademark for life.
She owns shouting in the wind.
She loves shouting at, like, God. God's up there filing his nails going.
And I feel like, did you tell me this on another episode where it was, so that scene in particular from the original, there was a competition where young teens got to enter it and they were brought in for a day of the filming. They could be behind the scenes or whatever. And this young kid, he was brought in for that specific scene for that day. And like he gave the note of like, oh, why don't you have a like say at like to no one or to the streets, like, what are you waiting for? And that was in the film.
He's iconic. Whoever mm-hmm. this person is, step forward.
Where did iconic. I hear? I don't know if I read that or
made it up.
Saw an interview. No, I didn't make it up. It's real.
I believe you. I do. And that's iconic behavior. I mean, if this person on their Instagram bio is not the guy that coined the phrase, what are you waiting for, that scary movie spiffed multiple times, then I'm not interested.
And I bet you any money he's one of us.
100%. That was full on queer sexual. You done that?
Full on faggotry.
Yeah, full on gay faggotry. And you know what? It's all the better for it. It really, really is. So I meant to say this earlier about Ty's death. And I'm saying this now because it's something that's haunted me as a child, okay? I used to always think it was worms that came out of his neck when he was stabbed.
Now, why would you ever think that?
Because if you watch it, it sees these squiggles of blood come out. And I must have believed this for eons. I mean, eons that was worms coming out of his neck. And I don't know why. But then again, how did Ben Wallace come out of an air vent? You know, like he jumps fully out of this air vent.
It's like, well, yeah, you don't really
like
know
an extractor
where. Yeah, because you have to think about, I mean, you, at some point in your life, you've been in a kitchen like that, right? You've been in have you ever been in an industrial kitchen before, like in a restaurant kitchen? You've seen it, like, it's not a ton of like overhead space where a big dude like Ben can just realistically hide. So the logistics of that is a bit suspect, but fair play to him, because Tyrell, he gets like slammed on top of a cooker and slides right off it onto the floor like he's just fish fillet. Like, it really is like, well done, because I bet his body.
Props to you, mama.
Props to you.
Or Tyrell mama. Gets it, but that's what I mean. Like, he's up there in that vent. Listen, this is the thing. The less
it's like army crawling around the hotel
and how they didn't hear him, you know, and then and coming through gasping for air. But I mean, the less that I have on my phone really goes on. Ooh, and my background, hello. The less goes on, and when I was checking my notes, I was like, huh, I really didn't speak about much else other than the terrible logistics of I still know you did last summer, but that's fine, because guess what? I'm not mad at it. I don't think I ever.
Yeah, because I think we're allowed to poke holes in it and poke fun at it because we love it so much. There's one thing that really annoys me is, you know, when they all get to like the little grave site mm-hmm. and Julie looks at her gravestone, the mixture gravestone, and she says, what's today's date? And they're like, July the 4th. And they pan to the headstone. And all it says is Julie James, 1975 to 1998. Not the actual date. It just says the years. I'm like,
yeah.
So why are you asking what year it, like,
and it's very much like on Halloween, asking Jamie Lee Curtis what day. She knows fine well what day it is.
Yeah.
Julie James knows fine well what day. And she's like, what's the date? I'm like, it sounds like you need to get yourself checked because you've got amnesia. It's July 4th, bitch. You know exactly. And I'm sure, like, on the coffins as well, it's like his family, or they died on, like, July. Does it say that, or am I making that up? Like, does it say in there they died on July 4th as well?
I don't know for sure, but I feel like that's a bit too bump, bump on the nose. If they both, they both died, the wife and the daughter, because the daughter was killed by the boyfriend, wasn't she?
Oh, is that what happened? To this day, I still don't know what the backstory is.
Yeah, so from the original, the backstory is, so the guy that's on the cliff that's got the little spinny thing, so he was, Sarah Willis, they were boyfriend and girlfriend, they got into a car accident, he survived, she died. And that's why Ben Willis killed him. That's the confusing backstory, because they think they killed Ben when he was the one that was out there killing the
ex-boyfriend. Okay.
And then obviously then the backstory of this is that they used to live. I doubt that they lived on that island. I mean, it's a really flimsy backstory that, like, you know, this white family was living on in the Bahamas. And how many stories do you know of a white serial killer in the Bahamas? Like,
them living in the hotel. What are they, like, the Suite Life of Zack and Cody? Right, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're buried in the hotel. They lived in the hotel like that. Don't sleep. You're not sleeping in that room, are you?
Dum, dum, dum.
And of course, Julie James is staying in the room that the family was murdered. Like, but to be fair, today has been very educational, because that was the first time I fully realized the backstory of Ben Willis and Will Benson. Like, oh, really? And that Brandy is Brenda. Brenda is Brandy. I mean,
that was a revelation I never saw coming, but
honestly, I feel that, stupid that is the worst. That is the
How do you feel about the whole, like, misdirect of Estes being the killer? When we know from the jump it's not, it's Ben Willis, but they're trying to, like, make out that he's got some sort of involvement. I'm like, not a chance.
It's one of those connotations, isn't it? By default, by seeing him do voodoo, they're expect that your natural reaction is to make that connotation and make that connection that voodoo is inherently negative and voodoo is bad because he's burning a toothbrush, you know, and he has, like, a shrine. And I'm like, okay, that's excessive as fuck. But no, the man is grey. You know that it's not him, but I didn't also, I remember at the time, like, think that someone else would have an involvement. You sort of, by slasher standards, when there's a slasher killer, there's a slasher killer. There's normally only one. So I never thought that there would be that, like, addition that, like, Will Benson is obviously Ben's son. You know what I'm saying?
But I do feel like with this one and with Will being, like, the second or, like, the helper, because he's not, we don't know, but I don't think he kills anyone, right? I think he's just sort of, like, helping his dad get to Julie.
Yeah, he doesn't kill anyone.
Yeah, so, but I do feel like they're trying to jump on the bandwagon of the 90s, for, you know, basically from Scream, really, Scream 1 and 2 of, you know, of the being two killers.
Yeah, I think that's, like,
and you never know if it's one or two.
Yeah, I don't really know if it needs it, because I feel like once that happens, the guy who plays Will Benson has acting and goes, like, downhill. So once you find out he's the killer, his acting gets really, like, you know, and then it's like his dad's like, no more screaming, no more running, it's time to die. And I'm like, what? Like, it takes such a cheesy, like the whole film, tries a comedy, and it works, you know. It doesn't really take itself too seriously. It's really admirable how it, like, plays up with the comedy when you think they're having sex, but they're not, and the whole blue balls aspect of Ty. But right at that end, when it tries to be serious, it becomes, like, so unintentionally funny and cheesy that, like, I feel like it misses the mark.
Yeah, this is one thing I really hate about the film, is that it delivers, I think, a really strong final act. And I feel like that whole last little section where they go back to the house, it's like a bit of like a tying up. And they do that in the first one, which is in, you know, the showers at college. You don't really know, is it or isn't it? Is it like a, was it, is it a dream? Is it not? Or what is going on? What is that situation? I feel like if they just hadn't given us that and just extended like the scenes with Ben and Will and that whole outdoor, because I do feel like that bit in particular is really rushed. We get so far, we have all this action, and then the final showdown between those four, I feel like, yeah, it's completely rushed and over in like 3.4 seconds.
It's not overly like satisfying or enjoyable.
No, it really isn't.
Like the opposite.
Even when Will dies, and it, you know, and it's like, well,
who in the history sets it up like that? Like, I'm going to kill you, so son, hold him, and I'm going to stand back, and I'm going to charge at you with this. Just giving someone enough time to move out of the way. There's nothing. It's just like it's added on, and it's like, ugh, because every the past 15, 20 minutes that came before is.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And you know what? There was supposed to be a third movie with Freddie Prinze Jr., Brandy, and Jennifer Love Hewitt all returning in 2000, but it just kind of got left out too long, and then it was kind of done. We're not doing it anymore. And then there was another sort of, apart from the shitty 2006 third movie, there was supposed to be another one in the works where Jennifer was going to do a cameo, but that never panned out.
It's such a shame because it's the sort of franchise where I'd really, really, like, I actually really would have loved for there to be, like, five, you know? And I wish I would have loved all five of them, you know?
I'm actually surprised there isn't more. I really don't count that monstrosity of I Will Always Know as part of it, because it just doesn't make any sense. It's got nothing to do with any of it. So I don't even think that's a part of it in my eyes. Yeah, I just wish there was more because, like we've said time and time again, I'm greedy as ugh. So I just want more content. And then when I was watching it today, I was just thinking to myself, because I also watched, like I told you, that slasher-esque new one, Initiation, yesterday. And I really want like new slashes in my life. I'm just craving it so bad. I'm really craving it.
Yeah.
I'm over apocalyptic movies. I'm over zombie movies for now, even though the new one coming out with
Army of the Dead.
That's it. That looks so sick. Yeah, I'm over those types of films for now. Like, please, someone just deliver me like a buttload of slasher movies. Like, is it too much to ask? Someone please.
Well, no, 100%. I think that when I watched Initiation, I was not sleeping on it. I seen it. I was like, there's a new slasher film coming out that isn't like cheap as fuck, that actually has like some money behind it. I was on it like white arm rice. Like, I was on it. It was it was decent. But
it was a slow burner.
It was a slow burner, but it was decent because I can see that. In this day and age, I can see what's happening. You can't just make a slasher film no more, because the way horror films have evolved, you know, the way horror movie and the genre has evolved is beyond goobery standard shit. It all needs to have a message. It all needs to, you know, have some deeper social context and commentary. I see it and I get it. But because of that, the art of slasher movies is dying off. I then, since watching Initiation, I got like, I'm obsessed with slashers again. So I went and watched, oh my God, what's it called? It's like, it's all these animatronics. And it's like that film Willy's Wonderland, but it's not. It's these animatronics and they all come to life in the studio and start killing them. I don't know, it sucked. And then I was looking for all these other slasher films and they were just all really low budget. You look on IMDb and they're like 4.2. And I'm it's actually like a dying breed.
This is why I think it's the perfect time to revive the slasher genre, because we have been inundated with this whole horror movies or slasher-esque with that have a message or have like a political backdrop or have something to say, whereas I do think we're in a time where I think people would just enjoy having just pure entertainment, you know, and having something not be so much of a message. It's just your general generic, we're not generic in like how it's written or how it is, but like you're just your standard kill by numbers slasher. Just give the people what they want, because I do feel like with Scream 5 coming out and Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends, it's a perfect time to start pumping them out, because why not? Like, just give us some.
I think it's in the process of happening. So obviously with Halloween, Candyman's sort of coming out, but Candyman's never really, he's a slasher villain, but Candyman's not a slasher. Scream's coming out.
It's like a supernatural slasher, isn't it?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a new one's coming out. So
Shit
is happening. The new Chucky season's coming out. So this is the thing.
Yeah.
It's happening. And I think the revival of Halloween is showing that people actually want to go to the cinemas and see a classic villain that they know and love and like watch it done right. I think Halloween 2018 proved that perfectly. So it's happening. But even the production company A24, who do Hereditary, Midsommar, you know, all those very, The Witch, you know what I'm talking about? These critically acclaimed horror films, like A24's horror films are a brand now. They're doing a slasher film that's like in production right now, that they're doing a slasher film. So even by exactly, bring it on. But you know that slasher film is going to have some sort of context. But listen, I'll take it.
I'll take it any which way it comes. I seriously will. Like, I'm just ready for it. I'm over what we've had.
I am in such a slasher mood. I can't even explain. Initiation. That film really...
Initiation.
There we go. Initiation Nation. That film really just like ignited something in me again, and I'm going through.
We also had Freaky, like Freaky recently.
Freaky was a good one.
That was a really good one. I feel like it was maybe overhyped in a sense, but it wasn't, if that makes sense. Because I really enjoyed it, and it didn't disappoint me in the slightest. But I do feel like it was slightly hyped up.
See, I don't think that it was hyped up. I think my disappointment comes that, not that I am disappointed or was, but the section of me that was disappointed from it comes from the fact that like it's too much of a comedy. It leans too heavy into comedy, into horror. It's like a gory comedy when I want my slasher films to take themselves just a little more seriously than that. Be like 51% slasher and 49% comedy, not vice versa, which I feel like that was my problem with Freaky, I think.
No, I'm with you. And I recently watched Tragedy Girls, and I really liked that film as well.
But that film is like satire, but it has a point of view on what it says about kids, and it's a good slasher film, you know? Bitch.
Exactly.
And I recently watched the Final Girls, which again is probably...
So did I.
Yeah, because it came on Netflix. So I was like, So now that we're speaking about it, it's not that... We really proved ourselves wrong. It's not that slashers are dying off.
Well, they're few and far between. They really are few and far between.
There's not enough. And I think now it's the revival of classics. We've got I Know What You Did Last Summer TV series being done by Amazon, which is casting, by the way. So we're getting a revival of classics. We're getting a revival of like what we know and love, baby.
I just hope the series doesn't go down like the YA route, and it's not like Pretty Little Liars, but with a hint of horror. Yeah. I really do hope it doesn't like stick so true to the books, and it does do more horror than, because if it's just that, I'll be so pissed if after how many years since we got this 22 years since we had an installment from this. I'm not even counting I Will Always Know, because it was like
we don't do that.
So it's been 22-23 years since we've had this in the world. And we've been a part of these people's lives. So if they come back and it's just whack, and it's just little, like literally Pretty Little Liars or Riverdale or whatever it is, but with a hint of horror, then I will write a strongly worded letter.
Well, you will absolutely hate this news, but they are basing it more off the books than they are basing it off the movies, because the author of the books despises the film, because even when I still haven't finished the book, because I'll be honest, I'm too much of a like fan of the movie.
Yeah.
That there's no slasher in it. It is very slow burn thriller murder mystery, which at this point that I'm on and I need to finish, I feel like it's obvious like who the killer is, you know? But apparently like they're going just completely down the book route. So
no, I do know that they are doing, like, they're following the book a little bit closely. However, I don't know.
Yeah, but the chasing, we still... Can they meet us somewhere in the middle, please? Because anyone that's going to watch that TV series are going to be like us and love the first two, like, of the movie franchise. So please meet us somewhere in the middle. Give us the book, okay? Do what you got to do. Respect the original story. But please give us that wee bit of the ooh, the ah, and the sensation of that the late 90s provided us, please.
Because it's not as if the book was this, like, super smash hit and every single person on the planet knows. Like, everyone knows what Harry Potter is, right? To make those films, you have to, you know, stick to the book, obviously. But, like, this isn't, like, the like a best-selling book or, you know, it's not, like, a big, huge name of a book. So I'd hope they don't stick to... But, yeah, I'm not going to, you know...
We're not going to jinx it, because at the end of the day, we are huge fans of the movie franchise. And if anything, I think low-key always pissed that we just haven't got more, because at the end of the day, Ben Willis has got a motive, a good one. He's got a cool outfit. He looks good.
That's scary.
And he's got an iconic weapon. And I just... think that when it all boils down to it, like, however people think, I think I Know What You Did Last Summer and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer as a pair is a fucking good time. It is a good time, baby.
So on that note, tell me your overall.
So overall, I think I Still Know What You Did Last Summer is really fun. It's got a cracking chase scene, some of the best chase scenes we've ever seen. It's cheesy, not always in the right way. It plays more into the comedy. And just switch your brain off. Have a few drinks if you're going to watch it for the first time. And really immerse yourself into the stupidity slasher of it, because you will have a camp time. So for that reason, I would give I Still Know What You Did Last Summer 6 Axemans out of 10, bitch. Tell me your verdict, Mary.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more on the overall. It's, yes, it has its faults. Of course it does. It's not perfect. And I'm not deluded into thinking it's like one of the best films of all time, because it isn't. But it's so much fun. And if you just ride with it, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's really playful. It's got some funny moments. And one of my favorite chase scenes. It's just an all-around good time. It really is. For that reason, I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 axe wounds.
I knew you were going to do 7. I knew. But
yeah, realistically, I can't give it any more than 7. But like,
you can't give it any less either. It's an important milestone, and sort of it's an important part in the movement of the obsession that we have with horror movies, and the reason why we're even doing this podcast today is movies.
Oh, 100%.
Like I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. They, you know, they walked so Spill and Guts could run.
Exactly. You know? For me personally, it's always going to be Scream and then this film. Obviously the first one, yes, but I feel like the first one is more of a slow burner than this. This is definitely your kill by numbers traditional sort of slasher, where the first one does like lend itself more to the book and how, you know, it centers around 4 main people really, and you get like a couple of like side people you can kill off.
This is more slasher than the
first definitely
one.
And yeah, so for me it would always be like Scream and this. It's like imprinted in my brain from like childhood as just being like quintessential. Yeah.
And I can just say, and this is how you know homophobia exists even in 2021, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer sits with a 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. And that I get, that is how you know, ladies, gentlemen, and children, and anyone in between, that slasher movies are not for critical praise, because 7% is a joke. I'm sorry, this is not, I've seen shit that's 7% and it deserves it. This is not one of these experiences.
It's a 4.6 on IMDb, and I'm like, that's a slap in the face. Like, 4.6 is a slap in the face when you have some of the, like, the shittiest films I've ever seen are much higher than that.
They just don't have that sort of preciousness that we have with it, because it's nostalgic for us. 100.
Which I get, and I do know at the time it was a massive flop at the time, but you know, I do feel like since time has moved on, it's definitely a cult classic for sure. And I do know Freddie Prinze Jr., because it was a massive flop, he's never seen it.
I think that's such a shame, because he really there's like scenes that he's not even in that are good, you know. Yeah. Just watch it, Freddie. I know you're listening, Freddie.
He's definitely listening.
You're definitely listening. Well, that was a really fun birthday episode, I think. What a good way to celebrate and finally talk about a film we talk about so much.
It does feel good to do that film, for sure. I mean, at first I thought, is this a weird choice? But now we've done it, I'm like, no, it's not a weird choice. It's a perfect choice.
There's a Rolodex of movies that we have needed to get off our chest. And there's ones that are still clung to us, like wet toilet roll, that we will one day talk about. But, you know, you got to peel one piece off at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And I still know what you did last summer was very peeling a movie that we talk about a lot and finally actually talking about it. And look, an episode 90 minutes long. Hello.
I mean, it was very cathartic to get it off our chest. We talk about Scream nonstop because we love it so much. And because we love it so much, we just don't know like how we do it justice, and how do we do it? I don't know how we talk about it. I really don't. Even though we talk about it all the time, I don't know how we'd get through. And I feel like if we just did the first Scream, it would take like 3 days. I don't think we'd be able to stop ourselves.
Don't expect a linear story. There's no way that I could speak of it in order. Like, we would be up, down, left, right, over and up. But listen, babies, don't you worry. We have plans. Oh, baby, we have plans. We will
one day
give you a whiff of these knickers. These Scream knickers.
Oh wow, you just so lower the tone.
Always
every single time.
Always end on a light note.
Thanks a lot, Rachel.
I always end on a risky fart.
Well, on that classy note, please go and follow us on Instagram at
Spelling Guts Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter at
Spelling Guts Pod.
Find us on Facebook at
Spelling Guts Podcast.
And please do send us an email at
SpellingGutsPodcast@outlook.com.
Yes. And then, please like, subscribe, all that good stuff.
All review, the good stuff.
Because that helps with Apple Podcasts.
Oh my God, please leave us a review.
And we just like to hear from people. We just
please, Mr. Griever, give us a review,
Daddy.
Daddy, pipe snake.
Pipe snake.
Yes, give us a review. So otherwise, loads more people can listen to us. So stop being selfish and hogging us all for yourself. Yeah. We're already rolling in the 100s per episode. But we could always do some more.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
We wish.
Yeah, just tell your friends about us. Tell your mom about us. Tell your dog about us. We love dogs. And we love moms. Indeed.
Sure do. Mm. That was a weird note. Goodbye.
This is...